Okay, welcome everyone to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting of November 16th. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yeah, sure thing. Member Decatur?
Here.
Member Riley?
Here.
Member Barnich?
Here.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Rushing?
Here.
Member Hageman?
Yeah.
And am I missing anybody? No.
Shirley.
Shirley, sorry.
Yeah, Shirley.
Member Shirley?
That's it, yeah.
I usually print out a little directory to check off, so.
A motion.
Do we want to address the public comment?
Oh, yes, sorry. Would like to invite anyone up to the podium that would like to make public comment. Seeing that I think there's no one in the audience that's from the public, we'll go ahead and move on. And there's not online, David, for this meeting. Okay. All right. So, and there's any written comment?
No.
Okay. All right. So thank you. Thank you for keeping me current here. Okay. Approval of meeting minutes. Item number 3.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions?
How do you guys do it at the city? If somebody's not at a meeting, can they vote on the minutes or not?
At our city, at our meetings, I think here, we've said that you can vote on it if you weren't here, if you've looked over it and you are okay with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
is that right, David?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at League of California Cities Conference last year, they specifically went through that. And
okay.
You totally can.
Okay.
Okay. That just came up yesterday at the Apple CSD meeting. We had a fellow that wasn't there, and he's like, I think I have to abstain. I'm like,
ooh, Brad, is your microphone on?
It doesn't light up.
There we go. Oh, yeah, on the side.
Huh?
You can't see it until you kind of like go on.
So, yes, I will vote in the affirmative. Then.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Brad. All right. Moving on to item number 4, which is the approval of the 2024 meeting schedule. Anyone have any questions of staff or any comments? If not, I'll look for a motion on that.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that passes unanimously as well. And then that brings us to the operations report. David, will that be your item this morning?
Yep, that's
morning?
My item. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
So first part is all the water plant operations. I'll go ahead and give you guys those numbers as of this morning. So plant flow is at 2.4 MGD. The state water is at 2.5 MGD. Downstream releases are currently at 3.2 MGD. The reservoir is at 519.80 feet. That puts us at 94.9% full and a total capacity of 46,856 acre feet.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yep, and then I can just, yep. You want me to just go down?
Yep, go ahead.
For you?
Yeah, and then we'll just take questions at the end,
sure,
unless there's something really urgent that we need to get to right in the middle. Okay,
sounds
thanks,
good.
David.
So I pulled up the projections for Lopez storage, and this got brought up at the TAC as they were, you know, saying, oh, well, shouldn't we be spilling this season? And the problem is, and I think I've reiterated it here a few times, is that the curve is directly affected by the blue input of the projected rainfall rates. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's really, really hard to find someone that projects rainfall in inches over time. They'll give you, like the Farmer's Almanac will tell you, you know, what the probabilities are, but they won't necessarily say you're going to get 12 inches this month or whatever. So that's kind of the reasons why there's some discrepancies in the graph. As we get more data or anybody projecting those inches over time, then we'll update it. So we might start to see it come up. But as of right now, based on those blue totals, which are some historical totals, that's what we're getting as far as the projection goes. So even with no rain, still shows that into December of next year, we'd still be at 40,000 acre feet. So a lot of water.
What happened to this last storm?
David, what happened? It is? Is it really?
A half an inch.
Quarter to a half an inch.
Right. What happened to the atmospheric river?
Yeah,
it's a creek.
A creek. I don't
even
know.
Nobody's predicting, and now we know why.
I know. I was like batting down all the hatches, and then I was like, what happened?
Yeah, I was cleaning rain gutters last night.
So did my husband. For what?
For what? Patio umbrella.
Did you? Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a good friend.
Okay.
I provided the September and October monthly operations reports. These have changed over time. I don't know if anybody's keeping track, but as we've been developing this, we're noticing either conversations with the TAC or even ourselves just looking at it going, this just isn't tracking, doesn't make sense. So we've actually added more data over time. It mainly affects the project water, not really state water. And it all has to do with your guys' storage buckets. And then, of course, then the first year that we tried to do this, it spilled, which adds another layer to it. So we're trying to track all this data as best as possible. So if you guys have any comments or something you'd like to see that you're not seeing, or definitely keep us posted. I definitely figured that this would take about a year to sort out and get everything figured out and how we're tracking. So as of right now, we believe we're getting it pretty accurate. So, and then in the near future, we are working through a program, Power BI, if anybody's familiar with it. It's got a very good graphical interface. And so our intention is to provide you all with your own like Power BI presentation of your usage. And then, of course, you could see everybody else's. But it's a very visual tool to let you see what's going on. We'll probably set up some sort of portal so that you can view it online. It's very handy on the internet-based side of it. DWR uses it, and if you're looking for data over time or specific data for a certain area, it does that very well and gives you a very graphical representation that's really easy to follow. So we're working through that as well. So once we have something to show you for that, we'll definitely bring it here.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Any questions for David on any of those three items?
Just one quick.
Go ahead, Brad.
With the Power BI, that'll be like in our particular buckets we can look at.
Exactly. Yeah. So each individual agency would have their own little, 8.5 by 11 that'll show essentially like a pie chart or, however you want to depict it. And it'll show how much you have in storage, how much you've used, all those things. So, and graphically, displays that, not just a number. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then I just wanted to let the record show that Shirley Gibson from Oceano has joined us. And David, just one question on item A.
Yes.
So did you say with the rain projected, we'd still be at 40,000 acre feet in December of 2024? Is that what you said?
Yes. So for our storage projection chart, this one is the no rain projection is tracking your historical usage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continue to use water the way you've used it historically, mm-hmm. that's the yellow line. So it's looking like by December of 2024, you'd still have 40,000 acre feet.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you. Yep. Any other questions for David? Okay, this is a receive and file, so thank you. Moving on to information items, item 6 on the agenda is the first quarter budget status, and will that be you as well, David?
That will. Megan, our finance person, isn't here today, so okay. I can run down this with you guys. And I talked to the TAC about this. So we just put together our current CIP sheet and what the projects are that we're looking to do this next fiscal year. For the most part, it was just funding older projects that we're still trying to build up buckets of money for, like the fire flow tank, membrane replacements, things like that. Really, the newest projects that are going to be on that list will be, and I know Megan was going to send this out to all your guys' finance directors, is some valve replacements on the racks and some piping replacements on the membrane racks. So those were really the only new couple of projects. Nothing that was really high dollar this go around. But as we work through this sheet, you can see total budget this year is $8.5 million. Expenses through quarter one were 1.4-ish, so about 16% of the budget. And then that was for the overall budget. Our routine O&M is $5 million, and we've spent about 26% of that budget. So we're tracking pretty well with how the year's moving forward. Our non-routine, and I've definitely talked about this in the past, our non-routine and capital outlay, we're tracking very low, 5% overall of what we spent on non-routine, and then capital outlay about less than 1%. And then as we get down, I can kind of speak to the reasons why. So our routine operations and maintenance is the one that's tracking pretty well. That's chemical usage, the normal, you know, energy costs, things like that, and staff time. And then the ones that aren't tracking well is our non-routine operations. But we hope, not that I hope to spend all your guys' money, but this will start tracking more regular, like more normal. So our some of our big ticket items, the geotech study at the terminal, that's kind of wrapping up, so we'll start to see all those invoices coming in, so that'll start bringing the actual expenditures up. And then we also have some really high dollar POs out there with the spillway and physical investigation with GEI. We're wrapping up some comments to DSOD, and then I figure once we start doing the work up there, doing core samples and things like that, you'll start to see that PO start to catch up as well. So that one should start tracking a little better. And then our capital outlay, the fire flow tank, that's a big one. So we've got, you know, $380,000 in there. We're actually getting a designer on board to start doing the design for the tank project in hopes that in the next couple of years we can fund the overall project. We just want to get it shovel ready, ready to go. Cathodic protection, you might have seen our guys, they're out there in the field right now doing the work. So that one's budgeted at $480,000, and that one should really start to catch up. The, if I recall, the contract with Far West was somewhere around $340,000. So that should really start to eat up a lot of that, you know, $480,000. So we should really start as we, you know, progress through the rest of this year. I expect that our actuals and budget, it'll start to catch up to one another, especially since we just, the membrane filters, we just cut the PO for that. That was, I think there's $610,000 in budget, but the overall was like $590,000 for the two racks. So that one will, you know, give us a big bump. So that kind of explains why we're tracking really low for budgets and actuals. So any questions on the first quarter budget?
Brad?
How many membrane racks do we have out there?
So we have 6 membrane racks. Okay. The 6th one was put in 2017, I believe. Yeah. So that one's really new. So we're only replacing membranes on 1 through 5. We've already done 1. This year we've bought 2. So we only have 2 racks left.
And the life on that, on those racks are?
So that was, they're kind of warranted for 10 years. And as you can see, I mean, the plant was upgraded in what, 2005, 2007? So we're like 16 years in on those. And no, we did do a forensic investigation, an autopsy of the modules on this, on the first install. They said that the membrane fibers looked really, really good, but they can't guarantee, you know, you don't want some catastrophic failure at some point because the fibers vibrated too much, right? Yeah. But they couldn't guarantee anything on the shell. And, you know, you're pressurizing those, depressurizing. So I could see at some point splitting some of the membrane casings. So, okay. Yeah. So we figured this was a good time to start replacing them over the next, you know, 5-6 years.
Great.
So.
Cloud seeding. Did we decide not to do cloud seeding, or were we?
Correct. We suspended cloud seeding for this.
Okay.
This fiscal year.
And again, this year. Hot yeah. Questions from the board meeting. My Avila board meeting yesterday. I have to see how badly I butchered my facts as I presented to the board. So far, so good.
Yeah. Well, and that actually.
Not on video, so
yeah, and right. Suspending the cloud seeding for this year actually was helpful because it allowed us to keep. I think we have $300,000 or $400,000 in the budget for that.
Yeah.
And so it allowed us to allocate those funds that we would have wanted for the CIP. So now I was able to put like another $250,000 towards the fire flow tank because I didn't have the cloud seeding.
My recollection,
Because that money I'll just carry forward to the next year. So
thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions from David?
I had a question, probably way after the fact, and I'm not sure. The fire flow tank. Why do you need a fire flow tank? And I'm sure this is probably could have been answered years and years ago. Why do you need a fire flow tank when you have all those acre feet of water sitting right there?
So we did an alternatives analysis of whether or not we could use the terminal reservoir to fight fires on site. It turned out, and we have I have a report if you wanted to read it.
No, thank you.
The bottom line is when you have a dedicated fire flow pump, they have to have the routine maintenance and regular running of it was very tedious. And then you also had to have someone certified to run it as well. And when we were looking at all the costs of what those fire flow pumps, actually, it's like having a wedding venue. The minute you put wedding in front of it, the venue goes way up. The minute you said fire flow pump, it went, it was like $500,000 pump. So that's why we were leaning towards just a new tank, especially since the tank that's there is 300,000 gallons and we actually only need 180. So we're downsizing the tank, putting it in the exact same spot. We even looked at combining the domestic tank and the fire flow tank, but there's not enough room at the top of the hill. So we looked at a bunch of options, but the fire flow tank in its exact same spot made the most sense. So,
okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for that. Moving on to capital projects update.
Sure thing. That's me again. So fire flow tank replacement. We started our project execution plan, and we're starting to get RFPs from designers to start designing that tank. The membrane module replacements, we just got the PO, like I said, for two racks. And just as a note, the cost of those modules have gotten significantly more expensive. So if anybody's tracking from year to year, the first year we did it, I think we spent $170,000 or $180,000 on the 64 modules. And now to do two racks, it was $590,000. So the cost of the modules mm-hmm. have gone way up. They said that the material of the fiber has gotten really expensive. Mm-hmm. So, as we know, everything has. So, the spillway assessment investigation, no change since the last time. We've done electrical resistivity testing to show the phreatic water surface elevation through the dam. That looked really good. We're working with DSOD on our non-destructive and destructive testing plan. We're finalizing some comments that are going to go back to DSOD on that one. Hopefully, we'll start, doing some of that testing up at the dam soon. So, geotech testing, same thing. We've got our draft document over to DSOD. They're reviewing. We're waiting for them to send us back comments. We're expecting a report, I believe, by the end of this year from the geotech, assuming that would actually outline whether or not the dam needs a seismic retrofit. We need to get the comments back from DSOD before they can produce that document. So hopefully sooner than later. We're kind of waiting on that one. Cathodic protection, as you've seen, they're out in the field right now. They're installing all the new test stations throughout the line, and then the next step will be upgrading the anode ground beds and rectifiers. The CO2 injection system, that one, as from when I actually put this together, there was no change. However, I just found out that the company is shipping the final piece of the hardware, so we're getting a skid to show up here in the next couple of weeks with the PLC that we've been waiting for. So hopefully we'll have our CO2 system up and running here in the next probably month, 2 months maybe. Chemical tank replacement, as you guys know, that was the one you guys moved funds over from reserves for. The tanks, we just reviewed all the shop drawings for the tanks, and those are being probably built within the next couple of weeks. The sludge bed curtain wall rehab, we just cut a PO for that to have a contractor come out and dig up the existing wall and help figure out how to waterproof it. So making some headway on that one. And then the bathymetric study that you guys approved as well, or maybe it was the TAC that said we could move some money around to do that. All the surveys have been complete up at the reservoirs, and we're just waiting for the reports. And that's all I got.
Okay. Just a quick question, David, yep. On all these projects. So it seems like that there's a lot of projects going on. Is that just because everything is kind of coming due because stuff's old or antiquated, or is this kind of normal?
So it's kind of normal. Okay. It is an age thing. You know, yeah. Fire flow tank, it was built in the 60s. It's the original fire flow tank. The membranes, same thing. It's just, it was well needed. Cathodic protection, that hadn't been operable for, a decade or more. And the CO2 system, that one was more of a safety issue. We're using mineral acid and lots of it. So now we're converting over to CO2, just more of an operational change. Chemical tanks, those were put in 2007. And our sodium hypo tank was the one that sprung the leak. But if we're taking the whole roof off the building, we figured might as well replace all three tanks while we got the roof off. So some of it's a little routine, some of it's not. I think it's age, and then some of it's being proactive.
And I appreciate being proactive because that saves us money in the long run. So, and it's nice we have the money to be able to do it. So, okay. Any other questions of David?
David, I have one. The cathodic protection.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing this budget's like down to the dollar, and everything else is a nice big round number. What's the reason for that?
We had broken that one out into like three separate stages and had a cost estimate from a consultant, and so I think that's why that one actually came out to the dollar. Other ones we typically are more of like a little bit of a wag, so we try to be not so down to the dollar.
Sure. And then as far as the geotechnical investigation for seismic alternatives, we've been working on that for a couple of years, right?
Yes, because we looked at decommissioning the terminal at one point. So that's how it all started. We were looking at, do we even need the terminal? We don't, based on the treatment processes that we do have, but it takes legislation to get rid of the terminal. Looked like it was going to be millions of dollars to do that. It has been going on for a little while now. And then, of course, going back and forth with DSOD, getting the plan approved, I think that was like 6 to 9 months, just getting the geotech plan approved by DSOD. So, yeah, it's been...
I was trying to figure out in my mind when the actual investigation, the geotechnical investigation, was completed.
That was, I think we finished drilling, I think it was about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions of David? Okay. All right. Moving on our agenda, we have no action items that the board of that there's no board of supervisors action required. We also have no action items where the board of supervisors action is required. And future agenda items. Does any board member or staff have anything they want to bring up for a future agenda? Everything's so perfect when we have water, and we can just like kind of all relax. So much water. Okay, so no future agenda items, and then any committee member comments? And if not, then I will look for. Oh, sorry, Shirley.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
Good news. The OCSD.
Your mic, Shirley. Sorry, it's the. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, the OCSD, we're buying new chairs.
Oh, new chairs. Okay.
That's going to calm everything down right there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I had a question that, they're pulling that gigantic hoop thing around.
Oh yeah.
What are they gonna do with that data, or who's collecting it and why?
You know, I thought I saw in the news that was Slo City was doing that. Is that right, or is that county again?
I think it's county.
So I can talk to my water resources group. I think they spearheaded that last time. Mm-hmm. It's obviously they're looking for the groundwater. It's groundwater mapping. What they're exactly doing with that data, I don't know.
Is it Sigma related problem?
It's probably Sigma related, and maybe some of the GSAs,
I don't know. It'd be good for
GSPs,
this group to know what that's for.
Sure thing. Yeah, I can find out and get back to you guys on that.
Yep, good idea, Bart. Okay. If there's nothing else, then I'll go ahead and move for adjournment. Thanks, everyone.
All right.
See you in 2 months.
There it is.
Yep. Next year.